Hi, today's July 3rd, 2015. This is Comics News Podcast number 72. I'm Todd Ogasawart, my good friend Jay Stone, and today, as is so often the case, because Jay simply knows more than I do, I'm going to really just ask Jay questions. I am just totally lost with this, what I'm calling the Secret Convergence Wars, DC's Convergence series that I guess just finished last month in May. In May, so a month and a half ago or so. And the upcoming, or did it already start, Jay? The Marvel Secret Wars part, whatever.
It already started.
Okay.
I don't think track of Secret Wars because you can only follow, like, maybe one big event. I mean, I can. I mean, to try and follow, like, two is just, like, too much. And too expensive.
Yeah. Okay, and you've hit all the nails on the head, basically. So my tagline for this podcast regarding DC's Convergence and Marvel's Secret Wars Part 3, or whatever the heck it is that the storylines are too complex, too confusing, and too expensive. And basically, you know, they're not exactly the same story, but the premise is just so 1940s, you know, where everybody's fighting everybody else. So in DC's Convergence, there's essentially Brainiac's world, and in Marvel's Secret Wars, there's Battle World. So, you know, where everybody's fighting everybody else, or at least so it seems in the beginning. Now, I have to say, I haven't read either one. Jay, I think you, before we started the podcast, you said you've read Convergence, but you have not, and you just mentioned you have not read Secret Wars. But, you know, I'm stuttering because I don't know what to make of any of this. But let me start with Secret Wars, since I guess that'll be the shorter discussion, since neither of us is following it. So in The Verge, I saw a quote from Marvel's editor-in-chief Alex Alonso that says, "What I will say is that we don't believe our continuity or our universe is broken. We don't believe it needs to be fixed. And I think that this story will bear it out, the Secret Wars. We have a tremendous opportunity here to transform the Marvel universe in a way that makes for incredible stories down the road for the next 10, 20 years worth of publishing." Okay, so if it's not broken, why are they fixing it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Just in my mind, just admit it. You're trying to fix something that you perceive as an issue. And just admit it and whatever, move on. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, when New 52 came out, right, Marvel made a big deal that, oh, we're not changing anything. Ours is
right,
fine.
We don't
have to change anything.
And they're still sticking to the story, right? They're still saying that we're good.
But I think what the if you believe what DC said when New 52 came out, sales are down for comic books, like the whole industry, not just for DC, like
right.
The whole industry, right?
Right.
So the doing the New 52 is something that Dan DiDio wanted to do for a long time. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Has said in the past, and then. Also, they wanted to make comics, you know, try to reinvigorate the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they saw the writing on the wall. The industry is not going to exist, right? For a long term kind of thing, right?
Cause right.
It's expensive, $3 to $5 an issue. You get maybe 26 pages of story, maybe.
Yeah.
23 pages of actual story. And then it's a serialized format, so you don't know the end. You just have to keep on buying it, right? So if you just collect one series, right? And DC's been pretty good about keeping it at $2.99. But, I mean, they still have $3.99 and some $4.99 comics. I mean, that's $36 a year just for one series.
Right.
If it's $3, right? $4, $48 a year, $50. Right? That's like 10 lunches if you buy things that are cheap. I mean, really?
Yep, I hear you.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be a cheapskate, but that's just...
I agree with you completely. And, you know, as an adult, you know, with an income, I could afford to buy it, but it doesn't make sense anymore. It really doesn't.
Right, so, I mean, they're... If anything, what I admired about the New 52 is that, other than I liked some of the comics, just the stories, and I like some things that are different.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they were right, you know, DC management was right in the sense that they had to do something to bring attention to comics more than just the movies, because people are going to the movies, right?
But they were going to Marvel movies.
Yeah, but they were. But what Marvel books are they buying?
That's an interesting question. So do we know if the Marvel movies, which were huge hits, if it affected bottom line comic book sales?
I don't really know. We should look at that. But I would think, what is it going to do? It's gonna be related to whatever the movie is, maybe.
Right. So Iron Man or Captain America or whatever.
Avengers is really hot, but Avengers has always been a pretty good book. Mm-hmm. It always was, in my opinion.
Team books that bring together various characters always... popular, because I remember reading History of Comic Books once, and a number of people quoted saying, when comic books were, this is during World War II, everything was tight, and say, for 10 cents, I could buy a book with all my favorite superheroes. And I think in some respects that's still true, right? If you buy Justice League or Avengers or Legion of Superheroes, and one of the big team books, it really does bring together all your favorite heroes in one place for one relatively affordable price. Versus, buying 10 different books for 10 different characters.
Oh, yeah, I like team books. I've always loved team books because you get this interaction between all the different characters. Mm-hmm. They all have to team up together to go after one particular guy or whatever.
Yeah, but, okay, so, since you follow DC's Convergence, this is my take on it, having not read any of it yet. My plan is to buy the collection when it comes out later this year and kind of read it all in one sitting, hopefully for a lower price than I would have if I bought everything one at a time. But this is my three-line, not quite a haiku, but my three-line assessment of DC's Convergence. The end of the old New 52... The new 24 and the old 25, because there are apparently 24 new books and 25 books that are continuing. And it undid 1985-86's Crisis on Infinite Earths, the original Crisis series, which is 30 years ago this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty much it?
What?
That basically, the New 52 is gone.
Yeah, the branding's gone, but not the book. Not all the books. Some of the books remain.
Well, 25 books remain, according to the article I read.
Yeah.
So less than half, about 48% or something.
Yeah, but some of the books are just the same thing. They just relabel them in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no Green Lantern Corps, right?
Right.
But there's Lost Lanterns or something. Or the Lost Army. But that's basically Green Lantern Corps.
Okay, And, in a sense, that last line of my non-haiku, it undid 1985-86 Crisis on Infinite Earths. I really enjoyed the original Crisis on Infinite Earths, but at the end, I was really sad to see Earth 2 and Earth 1 and Earth 3 and, the traditional legion of superheroes and all that kind of stuff kind of go by the wayside or be combined in weird ways and... Ma and Pa Kent being alive again, all those kinds of weird things that happen from my perspective. I did miss the multiverse that, existed until the original Crisis 30 years ago. But now that it's back, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I feel like it's all been a dream. So the last 30 years of the, post-Crisis world was just nothing.
Oh, yeah, but, it changed years ago.
Well, yeah.
When they had...
Infinite Crisis and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, Infinite Crisis. Within Infinite Crisis, they brought back the 52 universes.
Right.
Right? So, they've had a multiverse in DC for a while now, but I feel they haven't really taken advantage of it. What you really should read is you should pick up Multiversity.
Okay, and I have not. I haven't read any of those.
I mean, there's Convergence, which is like a run-of-the-mill kind of event type of book that, actually really wasn't that great to like the last few, like maybe the last two issues or so. Probably the last two issues. it wasn't that exciting, to be honest. It wasn't that interesting, in my mind, a book, a series. But Multiversity, I think it was $5.
Mm-hmm.
That book,
in each? My
opinion, each.
Yeah.
Every issue. But you also got a much thicker book. So they charge you more money.
Yeah.
The thicker book. Each issue was a different artist. Each issue was a different world. And Grant Morrison was just incredible. That was probably one of the, in my opinion, one of the best event type series that I've ever seen. I wanted more. Always wanted more. I was so sad that it ended.
Okay, what's the difference between Multiversity and Convergence then?
So Convergence is basically Brainiac subjugates a living planet.
Okay.
And then what you find out is that Brainiac, like the Brainiac that we always think of, the computer Brainiac,
mm-hmm.
who is a human and then he's a computer and all that, he's not really Brainiac. You find that Brainiac is more like this bigger cosmic character, like a Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a destroyer of worlds, but what he does is he collects these cities, right? And instead of shrinking them, he puts them on this planet called that's Telos. Telos is a personification of a living planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these cities, the interesting concept I thought about is that the cities are taken from different universes and different timelines. So you could have in the same universe, but from different timelines, the same characters.
Mm.
Or characters that knew of other characters, right?
Okay.
So you could have a pre-crisis with multiple cities, but they're all in different timelines, right? So things are a little bit, yeah. It's kind of like you have to go back to when that time that comic was being published.
Okay.
So like there's a version, right, of Batman, but it's Batman and the Outsiders or something, or right?
Okay.
And there's version of the Justice League, but there's only, it's kind of like there's a Detroit Justice League. There's all these different versions of Justice League because it's not just necessarily from the same universe. It's also different times.
Okay.
So I think concept wise, I think that was like a really neat concept, but I felt that if they had a grander vision of what it could be. Like if they had someone like Neil Gaiman or you had Grant Morrison or I don't know, one of even Marv Wolfman or someone, you could have something that's more than just a bunch of superheroes fighting each other. So the thing they made it what they did in the comic is to make it more serious is that the cities have to fight one another. And if you don't win, Telos destroys your city.
Okay.
Pretty sucks, right?
Right.
So some of the people go all out.
So it sounds more like Marvel's Battle World than Marvel's Battle World. I mean, at any rate.
I don't know enough about Battle
World. Yeah.
Never picked up the original Secret Wars.
Yeah.
But, so, it's, it was kind of a continuation of World's End. Because there was a big focus in the early issues on the Earth 2 superheroes and what was going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So some people really criticize that, but I don't mind. You have to kind of pick like certain characters that you can follow. If you don't have this core group, I mean, it just kind of falls apart. It's like even 52, right? You had Ralph Dibny, and he's the only one I remember, but he had a couple others. They were kind of the main characters that went through the whole story arc so you could follow them and feel something for them.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's Convergence. Multiversity was really a fleshing out of what DC's multiverse really is. So you had all these superheroes who converged at a place, I forget the name, and there was like the last monitor to exist. Right?
Because
there's a race of monitors, right? And so, Nick Suolten, I think. And so, they're all these superheroes gather, and the gimmick was is that the running theme was that as you're reading the book, the superheroes are reading the same comic book that you're reading. And the and this is Grant Morrison, right? So he's kind of out there sometimes. The concept is that the comic book that the superheroes are reading in the comic book that you're reading is really some sophisticated virus or some kind of sophisticated evil virus or something. I forget exactly what it was. And so it's like, don't read the comic. Don't read it. You know? And what was interesting is that every world they went to, there was this, I forget the name of it, but there was some big kind of world-ending type of light or energy that was like consuming things. And it was being spread through this. Somehow it was being spread through the book. But the writing was so good and the art, every issue was so excellent. And the characters are so fully realized. I wanted to stay within each one of the comics, and I'd want to see that whole world. And it was interesting to see all these different characters from all these different universes trying to work together. Even Captain Carrot, which I used to love. I used to love Captain Carrot, and he has like cartoon type powers, right?
Right.
So when he gets smashed, he just pops back up, right?
Right.
So, yeah, multiversity of, if you look at Convergence and Multiversity was far and above, way better comic.
And how many issues of Multiversity were there?
It's hard to say because everyone was like a Multiversity 1.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of a gimmick, right? So it was always a number 1 for that comic.
Right.
Because it's featuring that world.
Okay.
Right? So there were only 2 issues of Multiversity, and all the other issues were Multiversity something.
I see, right? Like Superman or whatever.
It was like Multiversity Dr. Fate, Multiversity okay. the universe of me, right? Okay. So it was like, it wasn't like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I picked up maybe 6 total or something. I hope they'll put it as a collection because it deserves to be read together, and it's a little out there, you know. But it was – Grant Morrison just has a way of writing something where he really gets the essence of a superhero. You know, what makes a superhero great? You know, what makes a character great? He's just one of my favorite writers. He's like Mark Waid in a lot of ways, just different styles. Mark Waid gets what it means to be a superhero and how to make you love a character and want to follow the story of a character. It's just like even like Marv Wolfman. He's such a good writer, even to this day. I mean, his comics that he wrote for Convergence, I don't remember which ones they were. I know he did New Teen Titans. He's just a bar ahead of a level, you know, above other people. Mm. He's just good.
By the way, I just took a look at Amazon, and coming our way on October 27th is a hardcover, the Multiversity Deluxe Edition, $28.
Oh yeah, they're just trying to make more money.
Yeah,
it's well worth a read. In my mind, everyone should read Multiversity. Should everyone read Convergence? I really wanted to, you know, I mean, I stuck it out through World's End. I stuck it out through Futures End.
Right.
I was like, okay, Convergence. It's only like a couple months, and some of the books that they had were really good. You know, some of the tie-in books were just excellent because I was really interested in it. The Blue Beetle one with the old Charlton Heroes,
mm-hmm.
Excellent, just stellar.
Okay,
I think what was it? The question messed up some guy with a question. You know, I mean. They're going, I forget who was competing with them or trying to defeat them, but like these really powerful characters, right? And all you have is Captain Atom, the Question, and Blue Beetle. And what was great is they were able, just with their brains, to defeat the other people, the opposing city, in a way, right? They didn't really want to defeat them. They wanted to go up against the big bad in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I got to find it. But whatever the question was that the question posed to the others, to the opponent, it was like, whoa, that was good. I forget who wrote it, too. He was a good writer.
Okay, so I'm looking at the collection that's going to come out in October, Multiversity Deluxe Edition, and includes Multiversity 1 and 2, Multiversity Guidebook, and then the Society Superheroes, the Just, Pax Americana, Thunderworld, Masterman, Ultra Comics. So it's, I think I counted 9 issues total.
Oh, it's cheaper to get the hardcover, right? Because I thought it was $4.99 each.
Yeah, the list price, by the way, for the book is $50. But yeah, the Amazon price is $28. So, sounds like a deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I'll wait. I'll just maybe pre-order it I think I'll just pre-order it.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent series.
Okay, so I'm pre-ordering it.
You don't really need to pick up Convergence. It's not really that important. But, read the reviews. Some of the tie-ins, some of them are just really well done. And you haven't seen some of these characters for so long because some of them are pre-crisis.
Mm.
Right? And, even the Blue Beetle series, it wasn't the Captain Atom where he's all silver.
Okay.
It was the Charlton version of him where he has silver arms, but he has a regular costume.
Okay. And that's actually the second version because the original Captain Atom, same character, had a yellow costume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, early on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I did like it when they switched costumes, by the way. I remember that pretty vividly.
When he had the...
Right, when he lost the mast and gained... and went from kind of a gold, or not gold, yellow outfit to that red and blue outfit with silver arms outfit.
Yeah, silver arms.
Yeah.
What was interesting is Scott Lobdell was the writer for that series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like his writing, but he did a good job. He captured the essence of the Charlton heroes. You must love them. Because I love the Charlton heroes.
I do too. They're big favorites of mine.
Yeah, Peacemaker, Nightshade, Judah Master, right. Blue Beetle. Question's one of my favorites. He's just awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who my favorite was among the... I actually like the Blue Beetle.
He was cool. He was good.
Yeah, both.
I liked a lot of the Charlton books. Like, they had Doomsday Plus One.
Yeah.
Which was like early John Byrne.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize it, but like Charlton had some of the best guys in the business. Right? Because Steve Ditko did Question.
Right.
Wasn't Orlando there too for a while?
Was he? I can't remember who all the artists were. Or writers. But I do remember enjoying them quite a bit and being disappointed when they kind of disappeared off the face of the earth and then getting real excited when they joined the DC Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Or really, actually, now that I think about it, not so much when they rejoined, but when Watchmen came out, as an analog for all the Charlton heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. I'm really enjoying that, thinking, wow, that's so far afield from Charlton characters, and yet you can see them in the Watchmen. So I thought that was pretty neat. Okay, so I have pre-ordered my Multiversity collection in hard copy, by the way, not digital. I have a feeling I prefer to read this one in hard copy. Kind of page by page versus. Pixel.
Oh, it'd be great. Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's see, I'm looking at that. Joe Staton.
Okay.
Joe Staton, Nicola Cootie, Mike Zeck, John Byrne, Roger Stern, Bob Layton, That's a Steve Ditko. That.
Yeah, all-star.
Neil Adams?
Neil Adams at Charlton?
$6 million man.
Oh, I didn't pick up that. That was outside of the superhero universe.
Yeah. Well, they had a lot of tie-ins, right? They had a lot of like, he did the covers for $6 million man. My God. Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It looks really good. I'm looking at it on Wikipedia. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, pick and choose the, you know, for Convergence.
Yeah.
It might be you don't need to read the main issue series.
Right.
It really doesn't get good to the last couple of issues, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, it just didn't speak to me, but some of the tie-ins, very well done. It was nice to see the old characters back.
I'm looking forward to that, I have to say.
What was interesting is when they were taken by Brainiac, right, and put on this other planet, there's a dome, right?
Right.
Everyone lost their powers.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they come from different times, right, even though it was years in the past,
right,
they were actually there only for a year. Because they were plucked out of time.
Hmm.
Right? But that's why I thought it was such an interesting concept, is that they're plucked out of time and out of universe, placed on this planet, who knows where.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all sent back to their own world as if they had never been gone. So I thought that's why I thought that whole time kind of space-time concept would have been just awesome if they really played upon it better. So like Batman and the Outsiders, right?
Right.
Metamorpho was in the Batman and the Outsiders, right?
Right.
He has no powers. He's Rex Mason, like human.
Right.
And so he's living with Sapphire.
Okay.
And they have a wonderful, right? They're having the time of their life. They're all happy. They're in love. The dome comes down. He gets his powers back. It's so sad, you know?
Right.
And he has to fight these other heroes.
Right.
Or other people. So it was interesting in some of the comics in the first issue, because the first issue is how were they dealing with being stuck in this big bubble for a year without powers, and how were things functioning within the city, you know?
And for some of them, it was Peachy Keen.
Huh?
For some of them, it was just Peachy Keen.
Yeah, for some of them, it was great, and other people, really bad.
Yeah.
Some people wanted their powers back and other people didn't. But, you know, they didn't really play upon that enough in my mind. That was just more interesting than, hey, let's get to the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to the new comics in DC, though.
Any in particular that attract you?
Oh, Batmite.
Batmite's getting his own comic?
Yes, Batmite, Bizarro.
That is bizarre.
But I heard the first issue of Bizarro was pretty good. The first issue of Batmite was okay. Second one, not so good. Prez is coming back.
Oh, that's just weird.
But it's a girl. It's a woman. It's not a woman. It's a girl.
Okay.
Teenage girl.
And which was the premise of the original Prez.
But it was a guy.
Right. But it was like a teenager. That was the weird part.
Yeah, it was a teenager. And you know what? That was Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
It was a Jack Kirby creation. That's coming back. Black Canary's coming back. It looks really good. She got Batgirled. You know how Batgirl has a certain look now?
Right.
So she got, they say she's got them Batgirled or whatever. Batgirlified. Black Canary is not just a superhero. She's the lead singer of the Black Canary.
Oh, boy.
I know. It doesn't sound good, but I read the previews. The thing that was really cool about the tie-ins is in the second issue of every tie-in, they had a preview of one of the new books.
Okay.
I read the one that had was about a Black Canary. It actually was really well done. I really wanted to read it. I can't afford it, you know. But I want to read it. I mean, and then there's a new JLA, Justice League of America, that has no tie-in to anything. It's just stories that some guy wants to tell. Brian Hitch is the writer. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of interesting, I think there's a lot of interesting books that, you know, DC's trying to put out and expand the genres, which I've always admired, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said at the beginning, it's become, I should say before we even started recording the podcast, I've kind of almost thrown my hands up in surrender because it's just too complicated to follow this anymore. I was trying to remember what I really liked about comics as a kid, for example. You know, with understanding that the world has changed in the decades that have followed, but too complex, too confusing, too expensive. I really, really wish they could, you know, with understanding that they want these big events because it sells comic books, and that they need these big events to kind of renew the interest in their products. I wish there were a way to create a sustainable business model for themselves without basically driving everybody to the poorhouse and in the effort.
I don't think it's possible. I really don't, because it's so hard to compete. I mean, it's just one other form of entertainment. The printing's not going to get cheaper. It has its own stigma still, even to this day.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to disagree with the printing's not going to get any cheaper, because at least for those of us, you know, with the exception of the Multiversity book I just pre-ordered, I read digital, so printing has gotten a lot cheaper, and there's zero, well, let's not call it zero, but, you know, reduced distribution costs. It's all digital versus actually shipping things thousands of miles in airplanes and boats or whatever. So, you know, I don't know what the breakdown is of digital comics versus paper comics, but even if it's 20% of the audience is now digital, let's say, and I really don't know what that number is, that has driven down their distribution costs compared to the old days when they were shipping, you know, 100% physical media. So, at least part of that. Now, the talent, I mean, you know, that's probably the expensive thing to me. It's, you know, you've got to pay the artists and the writers and the inkers and, you know, the letterers and colorists and whoever do it. But I really wonder how much the production, right? There's no ink anymore, at least for the digital stuff. There's no ink they need to buy on a, you know, weekly or monthly basis or whatever. There's no jet fuel. There's no, you know, boxes they need to put comic books in. There's no bags they need to put comic books in. I really wish they could bring the price down to something more affordable. That, you know, why the digital format costs as much as the paper format is just pure greed. Or, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that, because they do need to survive, and maybe that's what's keeping them afloat, that delta between the paper and the digital. You know, it's the same price, but they're probably making a lot more profit on the digital versions.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, a comic can't be cheap to produce. There's just so many people involved.
Yeah, the people costs are got to be high. But I really wish there were, you know, you remember, you know, there have been a couple experiments in 99 cents comics, right? Remember Red Circle? Didn't they try 99 cents comics?
Red Circle, you mean the subscription?
Right.
Yeah, they had a subscription, but it was, you didn't get a lot of pages.
So no, that's true. And it's the same thing with the digital-only 99-cent DC comic books, right? They're like 12 pages or 10 pages or 8 pages or something. It was very, very small.
Yeah, it's actually cheap. I think it's cheaper to buy the print copy.
Because it collects those little weekly 99-cent copies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it might be a little cheaper.
Okay.
Oh, they brought back Omega Men.
Really?
Yeah, here, I'll send you this. This is like all the names of all the new titles.
Okay. I'll take a look. I'll read Multiversity, and I'll be catching up a couple of months from now, I guess, to see what's going on. And in the meantime, before we sign off for Podcast 72, Have you made a decision on Fantastic Four? Are you going to go see it or not? I'm kind of leaning towards not, but I may be tempted to go see it just because.
I don't really want to see it. I think I want to see Terminator Genesis more than I want to see Fantastic Four.
Yeah. And what about Ant-Man? I definitely want to go see Ant-Man.
I really want to see Ant-Man. It's getting really a lot of good positive buzz.
Yeah.
I really want to see it. You know, they're even talking about a prequel.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that.
Yes, they're considering a prequel with Hank Pym.
The original Ant-Man.
Yes.
It'd be interesting to see who they get to play that. Since Michael Douglas is playing Hank Pym in the movie, right?
Yes.
I did know this little tidbit is that, you know, James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, which you and I both liked a lot, gave Ant-Man a rave review.
Yes, I read that. Yeah, he thought it was really great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could also just be marketing.
It could be. I thought that too, but like I said in the past, I don't not only not follow many celebrities, the only celebrity I follow on Facebook is James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, because A, I like that movie so darn much, and B, his posts are really quite interesting, you know, it's, he's an animal kind of lover, and he's put a lot of animal photos in, you know, his own pets and those sort of things, that in very interesting ways, and some of the behind-the-scenes things from Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, both from the when the movie is being made and now, you know, after it's all done, but they, you know, he sees the other folks and whatnot. So a really interesting status page. I have no idea if other celebrities' statuses are as interesting because I've never really seen it. But I would recommend his Facebook status page to
go. He puts his dog in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
his dog was in the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He always has does he always have his dog in the movie?
That I don't know. And I'll be honest, I don't even know what his previous movies were. But
Guardians is just a really good movie.
Yep.
I mean,
yep. Looking forward to the next one.
To this day, I still think it's better than Avengers.
I would agree with you. It was a very, very entertaining movie. Very well done.
He really understands superhero.
Yep. And he's done the first draft of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So we'll see how that comes out. Alrighty, so that's Comic Keys Podcast number 72, Todd Agosawa and my good friend Jay Stone, bringing this one to a close. Basically, it was my kind of throwing up my hands in a little rant and trying to get some help from Jay to explain to me what's going on with all this stuff. Thank you, Jay. We'll talk to you next time.